Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Let's learn Parshas Bishalach. Okay, let's start with some psukim. We're actually, despite the fact that Bishalach is famous for Oz Yashir, the Shira, the song that Klal Yisrael sings at the sea, many other famous episodes, we're actually going to discuss another aspect of the parasha at the very, very end, the Milchama with Amalek, the battle that the Jewish people fight with Amalek. So several psukim, let's learn them together, pick up on a couple of themes as we go along. The Torah describes, Vayavo Amalek, Vayilochemim Yisrael Birfidim. The Torah tells us Klal Yisrael begins their journey into the deserts. They're not far in when already Amalek comes and attacks them. And the Torah tells us where they were attacked. It was in a place known as Refidim. Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua. Moshe then turns to Yehoshua and says, Bacharlonu anashim v'tzehi lochem ba'amalek. Moshe says, the Torah at least doesn't tell us as if there was any communication between Hashem and Moshe as to how to fight this battle. Moshe on his own, right away, there's a battle, Amalek attacks, and Moshe says, Yehoshua, you go find for us an army, choose for us men, and go out and fight Amalek. Machar anochi nitzav al rosh ha-giva. I'm not going to be going to sleep during the battle. I'm going to go up onto this hilltop. Umateo Elokim biyodi. I'm going to take the Mateo Elokim, the staff of Hashem, with me while I go up on this hilltop. What will I do there? So at this point, it's nothing. He says to Yeshua, you go fight. You go gather the men. You'll be the general in control. And I'm going to go onto the hilltop with the staff of God in my hand. Vayas Yehoshua kasher amar lo Moshe lilachem ba'amalek. Yehoshua does exactly as Moshe commands him to go fight with Amalek. Umoshe Aharon v'chor alu rosh ha-giva. And then Moshe, together with Aharon and Chor, go up to this little hilltop. Now, obviously, Aharon and Chor accompany him. We were not told previously that was going to be part of the plan. Moshe goes up onto the hilltop. Aharon and Chor accompany him. And Yehoshua is going to lead the battle. So far, so good. V'haya kasher yorim Moshe yado v'govar Yisrael. And then the Torah tells us, and it was, whenever Moshe would raise his hands, the Jewish people would be victorious. V'kasher yaniach yado v'govar Amalek. And whenever Moshe would lower his hands, Amalek would be victorious. Again, no background, the Torah doesn't know anything other than Moshe goes up, he instructs Yeshua, and it was whenever Moshe lifted his hands, I don't know how they figured that out, where the Torah doesn't tell us, was that whenever Moshe lifted his hands, Klal Yisrael was victorious. Whenever he lowered his hands, they saw that Amalek was beginning to overcome. Videi Moshe kvedim, and Moshe's hands became heavy. Vayikru Evan, so they took a stone. Vayasimu Tachtov, they placed it under Moshe that he should sit. Vayeshev Aleha. V'aharon v'chor tamchu v'yadav mizechad u'mizechad. Good thing Aharon and Chor were there, because they were now available to help support Moshe, one on this side and one on that side. V'yihi yadav emunah ad bo hashamesh, and his hands were now, let's translate it, steady until sunrise. Vayachalosh Yehoshua. Oh yeah, Yehoshua is fighting this war. Vayachalosh Yehoshua es Amalek. Yehoshua was able to conquer Amalek v'es Amo lefi Charev, defeating them by the sword. End of the account as told to us in the Torah. Questions, comments? Yeah. Okay, I'll give you an easier one. Themes. Yeah, what do we see here? Yeah.
This is probably not your question, but I'm just curious. Is this our first introduction to Yehoshua, or has he been like in the parsha lately? He becomes very important later, but is this like his introduction?
That is a great question. I believe this is really one of our introductions to him.
He becomes later the one who's going to conquer Israel.
He's going to be one of the spies.
We haven't yet, had
the episode of the spies, so we haven't yet been introduced to him as one of those leaders. That's going to happen in a few parshas from now. This is for sure the beginning, because if we think about what Parshas Bishalach, this is the first.
Because I didn't hear about him in Mitzrayim.
I'm a Amalek either, right?
Right, this is Amalek's first attack of the Jewish people, and this is our first introduction to Yehoshua, yes.
This is a first introduction as Amalek as a nation?
Yes, I believe so. Okay, themes, comments. Well, what about the story here?
This has been a lot of nevuah, because they knew.
So how do they know to raise their hands, right? So the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which we'll touch on briefly later, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asks, "V'chiyado shel Moshe oisem milchama?" Do the hands of Moshe wage war? The Mishnah says, "But when Moshe's hands were up, and therefore a nehem shel Yisrael klapei mala, the eyes of the Jewish people would look heavenward, they would win. And when Moshe's hands were down, and the eyes of the Jewish people, so to speak, were no longer heavenward, they would lose." And we'll have to discuss that a little bit as well. But the Mishnah says, can't be that the hands of Moshe were the actual sources of glory. But that's what the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us when his hands were up, they won. When his hands were down, yeah.
Malik's attacking and he says, tomorrow? Like, why not now? If they're already attacking, why are we waiting until tomorrow?
Okay, great point. In other words, he tells Yehoshua, go get the men, and tomorrow I'm going to go up onto the Rosh HaGivah, right? Clearly there was either, on a simple level, might have been that, you know, as wage wars were fought then, there were like when night fell.
They could have been praying at this point. You know, like he could have been up there saying, look up to me, look up to Hashem. You know, let's pray because we've got something bad
what
coming on.
What's the main theme we see here?
Where's the comma? Is the comma before or after the machar? Is he fighting machar or is he going up on the mountain? Machar?
I have to look at the asnachta underneath the word amalek. Is so a laner say he lachem ba amalek. Period. Machar tomorrow. I'm gonna go. So that's how it tells how to read that.
Well, there's no prayer here. It's very
excellent. No prayer whatsoever here. Excellent point. Right? We don't see any of that, as opposed to earlier in the parsha, for example, in this week's parsha, when Klai Yisrael's at the Yam and they see the Mitzrim behind them. Vayitzaku el Hashem. They call out to Hashem. We have Moshe. Matitzak Eli. Hashem says to Moshe, stop davening. It's time to do something. And here we don't find any reference to tefillah at all.
Oh, they listened. They weren't praying. They were just doing.
For Moshe, we don't see any element of prayer. So one major theme here is Yaldav Emuna, that his hands were steady, faithful, so to speak. The main theme is
that they're fighting.
Huh?
Where do you see that they're fighting in this
pasuk? In the pasuk, you know, you only see the Yeshua being told to go out and fight, and then pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayachalosh Yeshua, something. Yeshua was victorious.
You don't see that they fought. You know, he could have made them weak just because they had their hands up.
Okay, so the main theme, which is so obvious that none of you are saying it, are the concept of hands. Like, what an amount of emphasis on hands here. It is just bizarre how much time the Torah is telling us, talking about the hands of Moshe. It's just, you know, when you start with Moshe, when he would in the Pasuk Yud Aleph, when he would raise his hands, they would win. When he would lower his hands, they would lose. Moshe's hands became weak. So they had a stone, and they could support his hands. His hands were faithful and steady until a lot of hands.
He held the
B-O-D, excellent. Moshe said, I'm going to hold the staff in my hand. So that's A. You have to deal with the hands aspect. And together with that, something very strange happens to Moshe's hands. Get heavy. Moshe's hands are kfeidim. Now, if that's not odd enough on its own, when you think about one of the very the last pasuk that describes anything to do with Moshe in the Chumash I brought you in the very next source, Moshe ben Me'ah ve'asrim shana b'moso. Moshe was 120 years at his death. Lo chahasa eino, his eyes had not dimmed, velo nas lecho, and his vigor had not diminished at all. Moshe dies at 120, a youthful, strong, powerful man. He did not age and wither away. He died at the height of his strength. And yet his hands are heavy.
When is he holding the staff? Like,
seems that way.
Hands
simply
or one hand?
That I don't know. The Torah doesn't say. The language is singular. I'll hold the staff of Hashem in my hand. And then he goes up, and when he raises his hands, seems like he's still holding the staff in his hand. But his hands grow heavy, and they need to be supported.
and they're not ready for the people holding them.
Oh, so if it's a matter of it's hard to hold somebody, so they were, but they sat him down and now they can hold up his hands. Moshe needs support.
Moshe needs support here.
He needs physical support from Aaron and Hur. He is physically incapable of holding up his hands.
He wanted help when he was going to Paro also. Then he needed verbal help.
Oh, we'll get there in a second.
He needs more than physical support.
Oh, so in the text, it's physical support.
But
his hands grew heavy. Now, I remind you, what's at stake here?
Life.
They're fighting a war down there. And his hands are so heavy, he can't keep them up. This is Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about. We're talking about the leader of Klal Yisrael. You see, when your hands fall down, Jews are being killed. And I can't do it.
He didn't eat and drink for 40 days.
I can't keep his hands up. Exactly. What? He can't keep his hands up? You're watching people die and they're so heavy?
Well, it seems to me that his hands are connected with the spirituality.
Okay,
the
good. So now I'm just raising the questions.
Not like,
good.
It's not like... He physically can't do it.
But that's what the Torah says. Torah describes his hands are heavy and he can't hold them up. So where's the other? There's one other place where we describe Moshe as being heavy.
Heavy of speech.
Two places the Torah uses the same language about a man who died at 120, and the Torah mentions to us his eyes had dimmed, his strength lost no vigor, and in two places he's heavy. It's kaved. One here, fighting Amalek, his hands are so heavy he can't keep them up. And two, when he's sent on his mission to speak to Paro in source number 3, I forgot to label them, I'm sorry. I'm sure you all can count down, source number 3. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, bi Adoni lo ish dvarim anochi. I am not a man of words, gam mitzmol, gam mishulshom, not yesterday, not 3 days ago, gam eoz daber chal avdecha, not from any time you've spoken to me, ki kevad peh ukevad lashon anochi. I am heavy of mouth, heavy of speech. Hashem says, Misam Pela Adam, who gives speech to man, or who makes man able to speak, or deaf, or with the ability to see? It's me. I'll send Aharon if you can't do it because you're so heavy of speech. So what do we make of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Yisrael, with all of his vigor and all of his strength, who spent 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai, didn't drink, peh el peh adaber, speaks to that Ribono Shel Olam directly, and he's heavy of mouth and heavy of hands. What do we make of this? That's our question for tonight. So far, so good? Okay, let's address it. There's one more place where hands are found in our story. And it's a remez, it's just a hint, it's not explicit in the psukim, but it's a very significant place where the hands are front and center in our discussion. Where does this war take place with Amalek?
Rephidim.
What's Rephidim? Where is Rephidim? Why is it relevant to us? The Torah should say Amalek came and fought a war with Klal Yisrael. Where was it? Who cares where it was, unless it makes a difference. So Chazal see Rephidim is important. Rephidim, if you had to break down the word Rephidim into two words and put a slash in the middle, as Chazal often do, you would find two words in Rephidim. Raf Yadayim. Raf, Rifayon, means a weakening, and Yadayim, of course, means of one's hands. So that Rephidim is actually comprised of two words, which means the hands were weakened. Say Chazal in the Mechilta, source number 4, Vayavo Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael b'Rephidim. Amalek came and waged a war with Yisrael and Rephidim. Acherim Omrim. Medrash is going through various interpretations of Rephidim. Some said, Ein Rephidim ela shirofu yideihem min haTorah. Rephidim means they were attacked by Amalek because the Jewish people weakened their hands from Torah. Lochain ba sone aleihem. That's why the enemy came upon them. Lefi she'ein hasone ba ela al rifyon yodayim min haTorah. The enemy can only penetrate the Jewish people when they've weakened their hands in Torah. When a Jew weakens his hand in Torah, he is opened for the enemy. Vayavo Amalek, when they reached Rephidim, because Rephidim is a hint to something that happened, that they were weakening their hands in Torah, the battle ensues, and then Moshe has this whole thing, when his hands are up, we win, when the hands are down, we lose, his hands are heavy, he can't do it, he needs help, but eventually they succeed. The Rosh Hashiva was bothered. It's a strange, if I asked you and I said, if somebody's weak in Torah, what organ of the body, what faculty would you say is weak if I wanted to describe, I don't know, they're slipping.
Heart.
Hearts.
Soul.
Maybe the head. Something going on. They're not inspired. They're not learning well. Maybe even feet, excellent. What's the pshat that their hands were weak in Torah? Hands were weak in Torah? Tell me their heart was weak, their head was weak, the learning, their feet, their hands? What's the meaning? What specific aspect?
Well, hands maybe do physical things. Maybe they were missing gashmis.
Oh, okay, excellent,
like,
right?
This is not worth it.
So the Shiva is picking up on Chazal are saying there was a specific type of weakness that was taking place when we say a mullet can come in, and it was a weakness of the hands. What does that mean, a weakness of the hands? So Shiva used to say as follows, he used to say this all the time, I believe we focused on this in the first couple of talks that we had from him in the very beginning already, before the summer. And that is as follows. There's an aspect of avodah, of service, that a Jew does with his head, with his heart, and there's also a very important aspect that a Jew does with his hands. His hands represent action. And the Shiva used to talk at great length about the idea of the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes, why did Hashem create the world? And the Mishnah says it in a simple line, Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo, everything that Hashem made in this world, l'chvodo bara, created it for His glory. And somehow everything in this world, in the physical, finite, tangible, lowly world that we live in, is for the glory of the King of Kings and Masters of the Universe. And the Shiva used to explain all the time, a malach, an angel, purely spiritual. And in what way does the malach sing shira? Does he give kavod, honor, glory to Hashem's presence? He does so because of the recognition, the clear, indisputable recognition of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There he is. And the malach is created with that clarity. And how does a cow sing shira in his essence, in his being, to the Ribbono Shel Olam? By being a cow. He moves. See, the animal world itself, and the beauty of the world around us, and the beauty of the ecosystems, and the beauty of the way the whole world just screams glory to Hashem. And we sit as human beings nestled between these two worlds, the spiritual world of the angels and the physical world of the animals, and we're this combination of both, spiritual and physical. And that combination of both allows us to do something unthinkable and unique amongst every creation in the universe. And that is to deny the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or to accept it. And only we have that choice before us. Do you recognize that there's a creator? Do you deny it? An animal doesn't have that choice. His existence sings to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The malachim, they see it clearly. We actually have a choice. And we can choose to live our life, most of our life, similar to the animals. We have physical needs. We have to worry about parnasa. We have to worry about our children. We have to worry about everything. And we have the choice to do so and live that life singing Shira Tashem as we do so. And only we have that choice. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the human being, Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo is l'chvodo. He did it for His honor. And we are the only creatures in the universe, the only creatures in the universe who can give kavod to Hashem by being mekadesh the chomrius, by sanctifying the physicality of the world that we live in. We are physical beings. He didn't make us as malachim. He made us as physical beings who have to eat and drink and then use the restroom and go to sleep and earn a living. And that is all represented not by our head and not by our hearts, but by our hands. When we talk about sanctifying the world in which we live, Se'u yedeichem kodesh. Raise up, lift up your hands and sanctify them. Make the life you live holy. Live a life that's physical. I don't need more malachim. I have them. I made you human, but I want you to live a human life like an angel. That's a task, and only we can do that. And that's sanctifying your hands. When Chazal use Rafu Yadayim b'Torah, that our hands were weak in Torah, that means we have the Torah, we know what we're doing. It didn't translate into a life of sanctification. It didn't translate into taking our hands, dealing with the world around us, which we must, and elevating everything that we do, bringing it into the world of Kedusha. When that is weakened, we open the door for an Amalek to come and attack us. When a Jew, who might know a lot of Torah, have it in his heart and in his head, but he doesn't have it in his hands, he's not living a life that you could look at it and say, that's a sanctified life. In the way that he makes brachas on his food, the way that he works his ethical behavior and everything that he does, the way that he translates the physical world and elevates it, that's an opening for the Sonei Yisrael, for the enemies of the Jewish people, represented by Amalek, to come and attack. And that's specific, the idea of hands. When the hands are weak, Amalek attacks. Moshe's hands are weak. Moshe has weak hands. Moshe also has a weak or heavy mouth. The Maharal explains, shifting to the second part of that, how can Moshe's mouth, how can it be, the Maharal asks, that the man who is so perfect in every way, who can speak to Hashem, pel peh, 40 days and 40 nights on our Sinai, as a speech impediment. It doesn't fit, says the Maharal, that such a man could not speak well. So the Maharal says, let me explain to you why that is. And the Maharal says, and this is this long quote, so we're not going to go through the whole thing. The Maharal says, the idea of speech is at the point of intersection of physicality and spirituality. That when the human being is formed, combining these two worlds, where we sit at that intersection, that is speech. The ability to communicate through words. And the source of that is the Targum Onkelos, who writes, as I quoted that part in the very beginning, the second paragraph, Vayihi ha'odam lenefesh chaya, when the Pasuk describes that Hashem took Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that he took a physical body and he blew into that body the breath of life, spirituality, and he put it together, and what do you get? You get a nefesh chayo, you get a living being, and the Targum Onkelos translates that as a ruach mimadalo, a speaking being. The ability to speak is going to sit at that point. I'm in the first line of that second paragraph again. We'll go back to the first line in a second. Ki ha'adam, the bold lettering. Ki ha'adam tzuroso, the tzura, the shape, the form, the essence of man is chibur ha'neshama ha'sichlis, the spiritual neshama, the haguf biyachad, and the physical body together. The dover zehu atzmo koach ha'medaber, and that's what gives rise to the ability of speech. Shehu neshama im haguf. That combination. Maral, going back to the first paragraph, says, let me explain a Gemara to you. There's a famous Gemara that everybody knows because it's quoted all the time, even though none of us understand it. And that is, Kisha Havlad, top line, Kisha Havlad Yotze La'avir Ha'olam, when a child is born, B'malach V'sitru Al Piv, a malach comes and hits it on its mouth, Umishakeach Mimenu Kol HaTorah. Now everybody thinks that the little cleft that they have over there, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says he hits him at his mouth. Says the Maral, do you know what the pshat in this Gemara is? This Gemara, says the Maral, is at the essence of who we are as people. Lama, let's read it, it's just so beautiful. I'm going to read the part from the bold again. Says the Maral, Lama Amru Sitro Al Piv. Why does the Gemara say the Malach hits his mouth? If you wanted me to forget Torah, where should you hit me? My head. You say, you want to say a baby learns Kola Torah Kul in its mother's womb, and when it's born it's going to forget. Hit the child's head. I don't know if you hit anything. Hit the child's head. No, hit its mouth, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, why the mouth? Ki hapeh shenase bo odom chai medaber gashmi. Because it's the mouth that makes the odom a chai medaber, one who can speak. Hu mishakech vimeno kol ator. And that's what's going to cause him to forget. Perish that. Ki ha'odom mischaber bo haneshama el hachomer. Because man is a chibur, a connection of neshama with chomer, with physicality. When the neshama is not completely attached to the body, before it's born, inside its mother's womb, they're not as yet combined. The neshama has more power, so to speak. It's much more distinct. The Eid Kol HaTorah, and therefore it has the ability to know everything. Meaning, the neshama, before it's combined with the body, is a neshama. It's just up in Shemayim. It knows everything. It sees clearly. It's just a neshama. And then it's going to be born. Well, when does that happen, that we took this pure neshama, and we mixed it together with this developing physical body, and now they're enmeshed together? Says Merle, in utero, it's not complete yet. It's not complete. In halacha even, the child is still really considered part of its mother. It doesn't have its own status yet. It's not yet there. And so the neshama still can learn kol haTorah kula, can hold on to everything while it's in utero. Ube'es yitziyoso, however, at birth, when the child comes out and becomes its own entity, nigmar brioso. Now its creation is complete. V'haneshama tischaber l'chomer. The neshama becomes attached, intertwined with the physicality of the body. V'kasher tischaber haneshama l'haguf. And now that you have an even combination of neshama and guf, nasa odom chai midover gashmi. Now you have a living being from something physical. V'zeshem ishakeach kol haTorah she'enos. Now it can't hold on to Torah anymore, because it's now physical. So the spiritual neshama can hold on to kol haTorah kula, but as soon as it becomes attached to the physical, you got to start from scratch. How do Chazal represent that now you can't hold on to it? You get banged in the mouth, because the dibur, says the Maral, is that point of intersection when the child is born, and now you have that combo body guf, and you can speak. But you, because you can now speak, because you're now a combination, you also can't have that same Torah in your neshama without you now acquiring it in your new state. Says Morel, and that's why Moshe can't speak well. Because Moshe does not sit like the rest of us in the point of intersection of physical and spiritual. Moshe sits way off to the other side of spiritual. He is such a spiritual being, says the Maral, so attuned to that neshama, barely attached to the guf. What faculty of his is impacted because he's not a perfect combo of body and guf? It's his ability to speak. He's a kvad peh. It's not smooth for him, because he's not that perfect chibur, that perfect connection. And therefore, Moshe has this inability to speak. So we have, summarizing what we have so far, so we have two aspects that Moshe is kvad, he's heavy. He can't keep his hands up, and he can't speak. He can't speak because he's so, in the Maral's language, sichli. He's so spiritual. He's so beyond the physicality. He doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need to drink. His face radiates with light that people can't even look at him because of the pure spirituality radiating from his being. So he therefore also can't speak, because the ability to speak is laid at that intersection of body and soul together. and he also can't raise his hands. One last point, we'll tie it all together. One of the first shiurim we gave, this is already going back months, had to do with Eretz Yisrael. If you remember, throw this out as a little review quiz. What was the first thing Chazal understood from the Psukim Klai Yisrael was commanded to do when they entered into Eretz Yisrael?
Plant.
Excellent. They had to plant trees. Remember that one? Klai Yisrael, the Medrash says, Vayoki Savo El Arz Unatasem Kol Eitz Ma'achal. Simple meaning is, when you get to the land, and you'll begin to plant, for 3 years you have to leave the fields, the fruit, as orla, you can't eat it. And Chazal saw in that a mitzvah. When you get to the land, plant. I don't care if there are already trees there, you have to plant. And what we learned there was the beginning of this idea of, you were in 40 years in the Midbar, it was spiritual life, it was man falling from the heavens in the bubble of the shelter of Hashem and Moshe teaching you Torah. You didn't have to do anything, you didn't have to make your own clothes, you didn't have to worry about food. It was kolel, it was awesome, it was amazing. And now you get to the land, and the first thing you're going to do is you're going to leave that bubble behind. You're going to leave the falling manna from heaven. You're going to leave those magical clothing that stayed clean and grew with you and never wore out. And you're going to start to plant. You're going to take your hands. You're going to work the field. And you're going to sanctify it. Because that's the life I've given you in this world. I gave you a training ground for 40 years in the Midbar. Just like each individual human has a training ground in their own yeshiva development of, now you're just worried about your learning. But now, go out and be something. Go out and do something. And be mekadesh everything with your hands. Go to Eretz Yisrael and make it sanctified. Who cannot lead Klal Yisrael in that endeavor?
Moshe.
Moshe cannot lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. He can't. Because he can't. He can't even speak because he's all spiritual. We needed that. Who else is going to bring us the Torah? Who else is going to go up to the Shemayim and fight with the Malachim and say, no, it's Klal Yisrael who needs it. But Moshe can't cross out of the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. Why do Amalek fight? Why do they attack where?
In the back.
Who does Moshe say? What? Right away. They attack, and what does Moshe say? Yoshua. Who's Yoshua? I've never met him before. You go fight. Says the Medrash, last Medrash on the page. Vayomer Moshe Yoshua Bachar Lanu Anashim Lama LeYoshua Shayim Mevakesh LaHadricha LeMelchama. He requested Yoshua to lead them in war. Lefi Shehu Asid LaHachnis Es Yisrael LaAretz. Because it's going to be Yoshua who's going to enter into the land with the people. Yoshua is going to be the one to roll up his sleeves and begin the process of conquering, fighting, planting, building. Moshe is in the Midbar. That's where he's supposed to be. We needed him there. Amalek comes and they attack in Rephidim. Shirafu Yadayim Vatorah. And Moshe says, Yoshua, you have to fight this one. You need to get them to sanctify their hands. When I raise my hands, we'll win. But Moshe's hands are Kvedim. They're heavy. Because the same language as his mouth is kvad peh. Because what the hands represent is the taking the physical and the spiritual and making your spirituality sanctify the physical. And that wasn't Moshe's role in Klal Yisrael. Moshe was beyond that. He couldn't speak because he was beyond Dibur. So his hands are heavy. And he needs Aharon, the Ohev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom. He needs Chur. You have to be Tomech Yodov. Support my hands because they're too heavy. What do we say when we use the word heavy? Like it's
burdens.
I can't do this. This is beyond. I don't have the strength. Moshe doesn't have the strength. Moshe dies at 120. 40 years from now is when he's going to die. And then the Torah says, not an ounce of his strength is left. But can't hold his hands up? Can't hold him because it's not physical. We're talking about spiritual endeavors here. And what the hands represent, yeah, Moshe couldn't hold his hands up. He needed to be supported.
So why did he try to do that? Did he not know that?
I haven't tried it. That's what they needed to win, as the mission in Rosh Hashanah says. When Moshe's hands are up.
Maybe Aaron should have picked his hands up. Why was Moshe trying to do something that we're saying is not?
I don't know why that, you know, if that's a matter of if you know, as the leader of Klal Yisrael, as the Mishnah says, you know, it was Moshe's hands up which would cause the Jewish people that Sheidayim Lios Lavim Shabashamayim, that their eyes would be heavenward. Mm-hmm. And therefore Moshe's doing it, but he needs the support of an Aaron and a Hur to be able to keep them up, because the Kfad Peh, the heaviness of speech, the heaviness of hands, are tied into what was not Moshe's role, but was going to eventually be Yoshua, who goes out to fight, and Yoshua is going to enter into the land and settle it and create and to build.
I remember your class where you also said the only one that can beat Amalek is someone from Binyamin, and they're not from Binyamin.
Who's not from Binyamin?
Yoshua.
Yes.
Yoshua is? I don't remember. Where is Yoshua from? Well, I said Amalek can only be defeated by Binyamin. Go back to the premise.
That was the class where you said on the way.
That was, we had by Purim story. That's what we have, that the Ish Yamini.
No, but the portion where you said that it's always on the way, along the way.
Oh, so that's another word. The Bnei Rachel, right. Yosef and Binyamin are the ones who go out to fight. Where is Yoshua? I think Yoshua is from.
He's from Rachel. I just don't remember if he's Yosef or Binyamin.
Yeah, he is a Ben Rachel. Yeah, and we use him as an example many times, that Yoshua is going to be the one who's going to conquer as a Ben Rachel.
So how was Bnei Yisrael, what was weak about their heads? Like, what was happening with them that they had this?
Yeah, so that Chazal don't tell us. Or at least I don't know. Like, what was actually going on? You know, Chazal say they were attacked because roughly a day and they weakened their hands. I don't know what that looked like.
And it's interesting that
this is before Kabbalah Satorah.
But it's also Moshe's hands, and we're saying Moshe's hands because he was so spiritual that he couldn't really relate to the physical. But for them, it was real physical. They were fine, right? So it's the opposite, right?
What do you mean the opposite?
They were removed from all the physical, like they had been working physically, and now they're in this existence.
Are you asking the same question as was Lyndon Latt? That's like, why did Moshe even try to be the leader on this? Like,
she's saying that when Bnei Yisrael's hands were weak, we're talking physically. Are we talking?
Not Chazal. Chazal understand Rafa Yudei and Batorah means they were not sanctifying their lives in the physical lives they lived, to live them in a spiritual way.
So we're saying we're talking about both of them, a weakness of hands. For the Bnei Yisrael, it was that they weren't spiritual, and for Moshe, he was too spiritual. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's why Moshe needed help to correct that, because that wasn't his thing to be able to, on his own, hold his hands up. And he needed the support of Aaron and Hur. There's the weakening of the hands of Klal Yisrael was not living a spiritual enough life. And Moshe's hands are weak because he's so spiritual, he's beyond that, like, that's coming out of the cave and burning up everybody that he sees. Like, he can't relate to that type of existence, almost.
Also very interesting, because it seems like when he got the punishment that he could go in Eretz Yisrael, that it was news. That he didn't really know.
Yeah, we'll get to that. He has a whole shiur on that, in which there are numerous other sources that there was no, that...
He knew the whole thing.
We'll see. He has a whole shiur on that.
Clear.
She was from Ephraim, which means he's from Yosef.
From Ephraim, from Yosef. Okay, good.
Can you bring it to today?
There will be a whole shiur on that in terms of Moshe's not going in, and how there are numerous statements from Chazal, how it was not just the punishment, and that was the punishment chosen because he wasn't really shyach to that from the beginning. We'll see. We'll go. I don't know which question anymore.
Knew it.
Yeah, and that we will mamash see that. We will see Moshe doing numerous. There are numerous statements from Chazal that Moshe from early on is aware that he's not going into Eretz Yisrael.
Yoshua could still lead the war in Eretz Yisrael while Moshe is there, but not the general. I don't know if it necessarily assumes that Moshe's not
going to
be there at all.
Well, I think Lahach Nesesh means he's going to be the one to bring them in, meaning that I'm not. Okay, that's the we got for tonight.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.